This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your signal to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
A note to our listeners. If you transmit audio news over a repeater, send us an MP3 audio file announcing your repeater call sign. For example, this is the W1AW repeater system and you're listening to ARRL Audio News. Send the file to Audio News, one word, no spaces, at arrl.org. We may use your ID in a future episode. But for now, I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, August 10th. ARRL has commented in strong opposition to a petition for rulemaking by Radwin Limited that seeks to amend certain FCC Part 15 rules to permit point-to-point multipoint communication services in portions of the 5 GHz band at power levels now permitted only for point-to-point unlicensed systems. ARRL has focused its concern on proposed high power operation in the band from 5.725 to 5.850 GHz, but points out that the entire 5.650 to 5.925 GHz allocation has been subjected to a continuing series of overlays domestically for more than 2 decades. Amateur radio is secondary to military radars on the band. ARRL said the amateur radio national weak signal calling frequency of 5.760.1 GHz already has experienced a very substantial rise in ambient noise in many areas that has significantly affected amateur radio operation in the 200 kHz centered on that frequency where extremely weak received signal levels are typical. ARRL said the FCC has no idea at all about aggregate noise levels in the 5 GHz band in general, while amateur radio and amateur satellite users have reported increased ambient noise levels in the band, especially near 5.760 GHz. ARRL has stated, quote, "Both the petition and the technical statement accompanying the petition are silent on potential interaction between the simultaneous transmission systems operating at high power and any amateur radio facility. As a result, the petition is fatally flawed and should be dismissed relative to the 5.725 to 5.850 GHz band," unquote. Amateur radio emergency service volunteers have pitched in to assist where needed to provide or support communication as catastrophic wildfires have struck California. Volunteers from multiple ARRL sections in the state have stepped up to help as some fires remain out of control. The fires have claimed several lives, destroyed more than 1,000 homes, and forced countless residents to evacuate, including radio amateurs. ARRL Sacramento Valley Section Emergency Coordinator Greg Krukowit, KG6SJT, said this week that things have calmed somewhat compared to the past couple of weeks, with American Red Cross shelter communicators stepping down after 10 days of support. On August 5th, the Shasta-Tehama Aries team was able to take its communications trailer to Trinity County to support a shelter in Weaverville open for car fire evacuees. All Aries activations for the car fire ended the evening of August 7th. Call Fire reports that the car fire in Shasta and Trinity counties covers more than 167,000 acres and is 47% contained. Evacuations and road closures are in effect. At one point, more than a dozen Aries volunteers from Shasta, Sacramento, Butte, Placer, and El Dorado counties were working at shelters opened in the wake of the car fire. Krukowit said WinLink continues to be the go-to mode, as fire has damaged several audio repeaters and no repeater path exists to the Gold County region of the Red Cross in Sacramento. Krukowit told ARRL that demand for Aries communicators is rising as the fires continue to grow. There were reports over the weekend that the Mendocino Complex fire burning toward Colusa and Glenn counties was being closely monitored, although no additional requests for Aries assistance were being made. The ranch fire in Mendocino Complex covers some 242,000 acres and is only 20% contained. The Mendocino Complex fire is being called the largest wildfire in California history, although the Carr fire has been more devastating. Aries teams and other California sections have remained on standby if needed. One problem in deploying volunteers has been closed roads. In the San Francisco section, section manager Bill Hillendahl, KH6GJV, said the four-county repeater was destroyed by wildfires a couple of years ago. Power has just been restored to that location, and Hillendahl said that with fires crossing county lines, his section is now considering getting the repeater back in service. A key node for the Carless system of linked repeaters was destroyed by fire, further hampering intrastate communication for Aries teams. Great Lakes HamCon 2.0, set to occur in October at Michigan International Speedway, has been canceled. This would have been the second Great Lakes HamCon, which had been sanctioned as the 2018 ARRL Michigan State Convention. In announcing the cancellation, sponsors said failure to come to a final agreement for the use of the speedway led to the difficult decision to cancel the event. The announcement stated, quote, "With just 2 months remaining before the event, the issues caused by the lack of agreement were found to be insurmountable," unquote. Hamvention and Greene County, Ohio officials have been unable to reach agreement to erect a new building that could accommodate Hamvention activities at the Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center in Xenia, Ohio. Hamvention General Chairman Jack Gerbs, WB8SCT, stated, quote, "The Dayton Amateur Radio Association has spent many hours working with Greene County officials to reach an agreement on a long-term contract where both the fairgrounds and Hamvention would feel comfortable erecting a new building. Unfortunately, we have currently been unable to successfully reach an agreement satisfactory to all parties," unquote. Gerbs was quick to reinforce that Hamvention continues to have an excellent relationship with the county and the Fair Board, but it does mean there will not be a new building in time for Hamvention 2019. In January, Hamvention walked back an earlier announcement that a new building would be erected in time for the 2018 show. At the time, then-General Chair Ron Kramer, KD8ENJ, anticipated that construction would be completed this year in time for Hamvention 2019. Gerb cited some significant upgrades accomplished in 2018, including improved tent shelters, permanent paths in the flea market area, and an additional forum room. 60-meter activity continues to expand around the world, with two more countries granting amateur radio privileges on the band. Paraguay telecoms regulator Conatel has authorized amateur radio use of a 60-meter secondary allocation from 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz with a maximum power of 25-watt output. Bosnia and Herzegovina's Communications Regulatory Agency, or RAC, has also authorized amateur radio use of 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz. The pending VP-60 Ducey Island De-Expedition has received a grant from ARRL's Colvin Award Committee that the VP-60 team is characterizing as significant. The Perseverance DX Group is sponsoring the De-Expedition, set for October 20th to November 3rd.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm talking with Bart Yonke, W9JJ, the ARRL Radio Sport Manager. And it occurs to me, Bart, that we're, what, a little beyond the halfway point for the International Grid Chase?
We are. We're in now the month of July reporting, which we're talking about now during the month of August, on International Grid Chase, on the months of January through July. Looks like it was another very strong month for the International Grid Chase, particularly since we're doing this reporting before the actual deadline for monthly data, and stats are already showing more than 8,000 QSOs in the month of July versus June, and basically more than 7% increase over the month. The month of July has put people out on the road, and as indicated in the ARRL's Facebook page groups for the International Grid Chase, there's a lot of people talking about a lot of both planned and real-time activities.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've noticed quite a bit of activity there. Are you still seeing the increase in FT8 activity?
Definitely, Steve. In looking at the stats during the month of July, 59% of all activity was FT8, or I should say digital, and we can pretty much attribute almost 100% of that to FT8. Even during the month of June, that number was just over 60. So again, 60% seems to be the key number.
Wow, 60% of FT8.
Of all activity uploaded to Logbook of the World.
And what about CW and sideband? How are they faring?
CW and sideband are almost on even premises. Of the 71,000, almost 72,000 QSOs uploaded for digital, 23,000 additional were uploaded for phone, and 26,000 were uploaded for CW.
Excellent. So we still have about 5 months left in the grid chase, right?
We do, and it's the summer months now. This is the time to, if you're going to get out and about, to make those travel plans. As the winter months come on, it's going to get a lot cooler and maybe a lot more slow to try to activate some of the rare stuff. Again, we've got our September VHF contest and the ARL 10 gigahertz contest coming up. Both of those are Grid Square events. Keep in mind also for watch our IGC online leaderboard for activity and reporting, and also watch for online certificates, Steve. As we've released for the contests, we're now going to be releasing shortly, probably in the early part of September, online certificates.
Okay. Thank you, Bart.
Thanks, Steve.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Last week, I gave a quick tutorial on how to operate on one of the easiest of the satellites, SO50. What is the difference between all the AMSAT FOX family of satellites, FOX-1A or AO85, FOX-1B or AO91, FOX-1D or AO92, and FOX-1C, which has not been launched yet? All the satellites have an amateur radio payload, and they all have a scientific payload. Schools and universities build the scientific payloads. They provide different experiments that the students will study. This, you might say, is a perfect marriage for AMSAT, helping students learn about space and have experiments that cover the gamut of space science. If you remember SO50, you transmitted on VHF and you listened on UHF, making it easy to adjust for Doppler because you can actually hear your corrections. When you tuned the receive, either you heard the satellite or you had to correct a little for the Doppler. AO85 is a challenge to work. There is a lack of sensitivity in the receive signal at the satellite. The downlink frequency varies with the temperature of the satellite. Due to the telemetry, the downlink audio is 5 kHz deviation or appears low. You should be able to hear the satellite with almost any antenna. Because its ears are not so good, you will have a hard time getting into it. AO91, like AO85, you transmit on UHF and receive on VHF. As Doppler affects the higher of the two frequencies the most, you will still correct for Doppler with the UHF side. This time, you will have to listen to your receive and adjust for Doppler on your transmit until you hear your signal. A little bit trickier than SO50. AO92, like its other kin, has a downlink on VHF and uplink on UHF. Once again, you will have to adjust your uplink for Doppler. Finally, FOX-1C. This satellite does not have an OSCAR number as it is due to launch later this year. The launch was pushed to a different rocket. You might say when you get a good price for a launch, you go when they say go. Once again, being one of the FOX family of satellites, the downlink will be on VHF and the uplink on UHF. As the FOX family is complete, AMSAT is now working on the Gulf family. These satellites will have a higher orbit. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, August 10th. Well, last week's sunspot was certainly short-lived, wasn't it? It's gone now, and we're back to a spotless sun and a solar flux index dipping into the upper 60s. With the low flux and the summertime noise, conditions will be challenging for this weekend's Worked All Europe DX contest and the Maryland DC QSO party. 80 through 20 meters are the best bands, but don't overlook occasional openings on 15 meters. On VHF and UHF, the humid, stormy conditions in the central and eastern U.S. are causing band openings on 2 meters and up. The most active areas at the moment are Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and all along the entire East Coast.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.